I think you should try to bookend a week-long trip to Ireland with two things of great cultural importance.
Okay.
At the front end, I think you should go see the tail end of the Oasis reunion tour in Dublin.
Okay.
And then I think you should go see Farmageddon open the 2025 college football season, also in Dublin. And in between then, you can do whatever you want. But I think, like, this is the greatest way for you to get your head right for next football. I know we've just started this football season, but, like, good teams never stop planning for future opponents. And we are a great team. I think everyone would agree.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Coach.
Great job, Coach. So, Coach, I want to take your suggestion here in terms of game planning. I think that's a great suggestion. That's a good script to test our capabilities going into next season. I would say that there is a greater chance of two agricultural universities putting 200 to 300 people on two different planes, sending them high in the stratosphere at speeds of up to 600 miles per hour.
I like that you're making flight ocean. Sound like this, like it's 1920.
I want to put it in perspective.
Man can soar through the air.
It's nuts that we do this every day.
Okay.
But I also want to go ahead and put it into perspective. By the way, large people, we're not just asking to lift a normal sized group of people on a plane.
Yeah.
We're putting farm boys and a whole lot of football players on planes and sending them thousands of miles across the ocean, counting on them to land safely and end up playing a game of American football at Aviva Stadium in Dublin, which can happen, at least for Georgia Tech. They'll do that successfully. Not very sure successful. About anyone else.
I think if you buy tickets for... Where are they starting the tour? In London?
They're starting it... I don't know. I'm going to consult Serber, who has the schedule open in front of him. What's the first date, Michael Serber?
Well, the first date is Cardiff Principality Stadium.
They're starting in Wales.
Apologies. I should have known. I think if you show up for one of the first dates on the tour, you don't really believe in the power of brotherhood. I think if you buy a ticket for one of the last dates, like, I think that sends a signal to Liam and Noel Gallagher that you believed in them. And you weren't one of those people prancing about the internet saying, oh, they'll never make it to Dublin. Oh, they won't even make it to this stop, whatever. You're like, no, I bought tickets for the last show because I believe in you, and I believe that really you can make this work. Is that foolish? Maybe. But isn't love foolish sometimes, Spencer? Isn't brotherhood foolish sometimes? Isn't Farmageddon in Ireland foolish sometimes?
If you're the Gallagher brothers, brotherhood is foolish all of the time.
I think also, I'm going to buy tickets to the football game because I believe in the bond of brotherhood.
There you go.
I believe they'll be there.
Right.
One of them will be there. My favorite thing Liam has ever said about Noel was that when asked about Noel's fashion choices, said he dresses like he's Elizabeth Hurley's son. I don't know what that means, but it sounds devastating. He was like, he wears cardigans. He said it looks spittily.
I don't know what that kid dresses like, but like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I need a British Isles decoder ring to understand that.
I think it implies that he would dress like a little lord.
If you want to be in a rock and roll band, you got to be fucking huge.
Yeah.
Better want to be fucking big.
So physically large.
To take care of me, eh? Yeah.
Physically large, like the Gallagher brothers.
Yeah. Whereas you could be Liam and just be like, I would like to pay $650 for a jacket that looks like a trash bag.
What's that mean?
Right. Yeah. So I think this is a great idea, Ryan.
I'll go with you. Listen, I shouldn't say this without consulting my family, but I'll go with you. I'll go with you on a tour of Ireland.
And you think we'd make it?
Oh, man. It'd be so fun.
You say driving there scary? Great.
Driving there is scary, but you've done scary things before. You've been to like actual driving school. You'll be fine.
Driving to Ireland?
Well, that's probably scary too. Mostly my memory is that Ireland is one of like four countries that they were like, most of the time if you rent a car in another country, they're like, it's fine, whatever. Ireland, I remember specifically, the like Rick Steves book was like, no, you should get as much insurance as possible when you rent a car in Ireland. Like whatever the maximum is, ask for that and $20 more than that too.
Are there, is it because of like bog witches or?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I think it's a combination of the drivers, the state of the roads, the bog witches, the
Florida State fans.
The allure.
They're stuck there. They're stuck there for their souls are trapped. They can't leave until they win a football game there finally.
Ah, Georgia Tech put us in a horcrux.
Those fucking dorks, of course they knew how to do that. They did some Magic the Gathering shit, and guess who got gathered? It was us.
I think it is good if Georgia if Georgia Tech trapped Florida State in Ireland for all eternity.
Hey, get them out of the ACC, right?
Well, it's also like for Florida
State,
still
the Atlantic Coast. God damn,
yeah.
Florida State has spent the past 8 months being like, oh, the power structures around us have betrayed us and held us down and deprived us of what we rightfully deserve, and Ireland's like, go on, try and tell me about it. please Florida State, tell us about your persecution complex.
Know what real oppression is.
Maybe Ireland brought in Florida State because they're like, hey, we heard you guys are experts at like leaving bigger things, right? So we still have some land that is occupied by a nearby bigger thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, Florida State looks more like Brexit right now is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this going to mess up me all the day to Ibiza?
My favorite thing after FSU lost has been everyone putting out, like, you're allowed to lose one game in this era, right?
Oh, shit.
And
oh,
it's like,
shit.
Well, Florida State can't get in even if they lose no games. Wait, this is...
Maybe this is better.
I guess we'll find out.
Maybe Florida State should go winless out of spite just to see if that's the key to getting into the college football playoff.
I think that'd be a great idea. I would love it if they did that.
Just one neutral fan's opinion. That's all.
That's one unbiased, neutral, perfectly clinically detached fan's opinion that Florida State should walk into the ocean. That's one way to join the Atlantic and leave the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah, as a podcast with two Florida fans, a Clemson fan, and two other people who've spent a lot of time on the college football internet as well, we are completely unbiased on the matter of Florida State.
It's just for science. It just for science. I think you should flip undefeated. I won't even count the bowl game. You should flip an undefeated season with a winless season.
Just put a new stadium out front that says Concord. Statue, sorry. Damn, really bricked that one. You know what I meant.
I did think about this, though, that Florida State fans got to Dublin, and they saw everyone smoking, and they were like, man, these guys are all right.
This place is cool.
This place is pretty cool. So,
Mike Norvell comes out, and he's like, well, damn it. The travel, the kids, they were just distracted by all the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Everyone just looks so darn cool. I couldn't get them in the hotel to
just
play
delicious
their,
cigarettes.
Play their Pokemon games or whatever it is they do in there. They were just busy smoking cigarettes.
Got one to Boot Curb Street, though.
Got to listen. Got
I'm
to
sure that,
nobody.
Sure great.
You listen. The victory lap that he could have taken post game could have almost gotten him fired.
He
which
picked
is
Florida State. None of them could take a victory lap. They all picked Florida State.
WWE wrestler Sheamus could.
Correct.
Sheamus. Sheamus could have.
Yes.
The ball knower.
The yes. only ball knower on that set that day. You have to make what? They were asked to make four picks.
The world's unhairiest pale man is the only ball knower.
Who's immortal, by the way. Like, I'm convinced. Yeah, Sheamus.
Strong as a truck.
Yeah. And still looks like he has an unusual thing because he is a redheaded white man who still looks like he's 23. And I have
he's never gone outside.
No, never gone outside, wears sunscreen indoors, and is a vampire. Vampire has to be the only explanation. He is a daywalker.
Or a bog witch, possibly.
Bog. That's a big ass bog witch. Pass me a smoke, Buford.
Bog witch knows ball.
Walk into the ocean, Florida State. That's what we're saying.
It's the only way home.
It's the only way home.
Better get extradited.
Yeah. Come back to Ireland with me and Ryan. We'll go see Oasis. To the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am being joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael Serber. Normally, we have quite the agenda on this show, obviously. Detailed plans, methodical structure, everything you've come to expect from us. But today, here, when we are recording on Tuesday, August 27th, 2024, I can safely say this. Today is the day we look at the schedule.
We're going
today,
to that fucking schedule.
We get to look at so much schedule because
it's a big fucking football. Schedule, too. It's an extra big schedule.
Massive. Absolutely massive schedule. Week one, not week zero. None of this false starting shit. How many of these games are taking place outside the confines of these United States? Zero. How many of them going to count? All of them. Absolutely all of them.
You know, before y'all take Florida State to see Oasis, they might see 0-6 the way they're playing.
Oh, that's I have so many Oasis jokes that I'm not going to uncork them. Yeah. You know what's going to live forever? Losing to Georgia Tech in Dublin. That's what's going to live forever.
I do imagine there's some subset of the audience to this show who's like, all right, well, they didn't do After Dark for week zero. So maybe they're just going to gloss over the Florida State game altogether. And I don't have to. Nope, not true. Nope. Not true at all.
Absolutely not.
You know what we're going to talk about after week one After Dark? We're probably going to talk about the Noles.
Yeah, you say that, but Miami and Florida are playing. So. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm really excited.
It's their turn to be happy.
Yeah, it's fucking three-way circle jerk of hate y'all have gone. There will be one team in that group will be so happy. Guess which team is losing the very next week? It's the happy team. That's how it always works. Who do y'all got week two? Let's see here. I'm going to look at next week's schedule for you.
Damn.
Oh, you're going to lose to Samford.
Time Lord Jason Kirk.
We do have Samford, so at least that's on the schedule.
Put that away. Stick to week one. Focus.
Focus. Focus on week zero and Florida State losing. Everything else is inconsequential. We're just going to go ahead and focus on the Noles losing on a bold game plan of I'm going to throw a yard behind the line of scrimmage and see what happens.
Should we get right to it?
I am 100% okay with getting immediately and right to it.
Then let's watch Rutgers football.
That's it. That's where I was going to take it.
The first game on Thursday night is Howard at Rutgers. Rutgers is still in the Big Ten.
Rutgers.
I don't know why, but they are.
Yes. And Howard, enjoy the paycheck, man. For tickets as low as $5. $5 in Piscataway, New Jersey. There is no better bang for your buck than watching Rutgers football for $5. I feel safe saying that.
Yeah, this game really kicks off at 5 o'clock?
6 Eastern.
Sorry. I'm not doing math right.
Oh, my God. He got reverse LSUTV.net.
I did. I'm sorry.
This is why I should look at the watch.
I apologize.
Jason Kirk.
Apologize.
Is Ryan finally overcoming his elitist East Coast background? Is he finally adjusting to the Heartland Zone time zone?
Midwest treasure, Ryan Nanny. Humble farmer, Ryan Nanny.
Humble farmer just giving us almanac time by citing things in Central.
I apologize.
No, I love it. This is great. You're finally becoming a real American.
What if just picked a random time zone each week? Like, well, that would like go really wrong when we tried to calculate mountain time zone. Nobody's ever done that.
No. You can tell me that it's 2 hours behind me, and as evidenced by my previous struggles with the international dateline, no clue. By the way, if you tell me Florida State's on at three now, they've been, you know, they've been across the water and so have, you know, not an international dateline adjustment, but I'm never going to get their time right now.
I don't think Mountain Time Zone is real. I think Mountain Time Zone is a falsehood created by the people who live in those states to never be on time for something and claim that it's a time zone thing. But I don't think, like, in practice, if you go to Utah or whatever, it's like the time is that, no, I think they're just like, whatever, clocks are for losers, we do whatever
is
we
it,
want.
Is it part of Central, is it part of Pacific, or is it just
they don't have one, there's no time total, zone, there's no time in these areas whatsoever, they just total, they operate, like, yeah,
you show up and you're like, when should I expect you to be there, and they're like, you got a fucking badge,
yeah, yeah. What are you, some sort of time cop? Get the like the documentary.
You go back to where they have laws, like fucking Arkansas.
That's right. That's right.
Or or it's some secret Mormon time that you only can understand by being Mormon. And they're like, when do you show up? And they're like, I don't know, but we'll be there.
Mormon time is like...
on time.
Early.
Yeah, early. How early? You'll see. Are you going to be late? Yes.
No.
Nope.
Just they early. Will be early and you will be late.
Yeah, that's it. You'll always be late. Doesn't matter. They'll be like, I'll get there 35 minutes early, and they'll be like, 36. Too bad.
But like, he's that's so nice like when you hear about places that don't have daylight savings time or whatever, it's because there is no time there. They're going to be like, oh, we're being stubborn. But it's like, no, everybody forgot how to read a clock, and now they're all screwed.
So is like Arizona the one that gave the game away? Because like Arizona and Indiana are the two where they're like, I don't know, they do their own shit. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then they're the ones who crack the code.
Yeah.
Move to Indiana, live forever. That's what I'm hearing.
Like, you can tell me the Arizona Cardinals operate in a world of time? Come on.
Part of their 50 billion year rebuilding plan.
Nothing about rooting for or being part of the Arizona Cardinals suggests like, oh, I have a concept of the limited notion of time in my life.
In a hurry?
Not at all.
Think not.
No.
We'll get Kyler Murray to the MVP in like 2058.
It's probably not even a measure of time. They're like, how long until the Cardinals win a Super Bowl? They're like, 18 miles. What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You'll find out. You'll all see.
How long? 32 considerations. Of whom? What God?
Technically, there is a Thursday game in this mythical time zone that people are going to want to talk about as well.
No.
Indeed there is. It will, it'll be the game of Thursday night. Like,
eat shit, North Carolina at Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, let's keep it fucking real. More eyeballs will be on North Dakota State at Colorado. I don't make the rules. That's what's going to happen.
I'd like to ask Dion a question about this, but he's a little touchy.
Can I I don't know if I want to do this. Can I ask a question to
let's go to
really the four of y'all about, because Server almost certainly knows more about this than I do too. Is this an example of Dion doing a thing that lots of coaches do, but doing it too publicly and in a way that like rubs people wrong, and people are just paying so much attention that like Dion saying, I'm not going to answer questions from this reporter stands out, but like other coaches have their way of freezing out guys. It just doesn't get the amount of attention because they don't do it in the middle of a press conference, and they don't like send a letter to the Denver Post saying like, fuck this guy specifically, and here are the reasons why. Like, Is it that unusual to see this happen?
I mean, it's happened in informal ways, but yeah, right. there are so many eyes on Dion, and those eyes also empower him in a way, and like the school itself knows that like no one gives a shit about the Colorado Buffaloes football program. Their job is to be the platform upon which Dion stands. So like, I mean, the school itself knows Dion can get away with anything, including making something that, if you're going to do it, you should do it in a chill way. But Dion can just get away with doing it however he wants.
Right. And here's how I know it's a bad idea. Spurrier did it. And he did it publicly.
I, I know? Like, I remember this happened with Urban Meyer and, oh God, he works at ESPN now.
Jeremy Fowler.
Jeremy Fowler. Like, this sort of happened there as well. And people got mad about it. And to be clear, I'm not saying, like, it's good that Dion is doing this. But there is something, I don't know. I think this will probably be true this season as well. There is something about, like, when Dion, and I think this is self-perpetuated a little bit by Dion as well. When Dion does something, some portion of the college football media audience, whatever, decides to treat it as like, here's a thing that's never been done before, and that's super good or super bad or super wild. And to some extent, and Jason, I feel like we talk all the time about how, like, everything in college football has already been done 15 times before, but it really seems highlighted with Dion that, like, when these things happen, it gets treated as like, oh my God, this breach of etiquette has never before has this happened in this sport. And it always strikes me as like, but kind of it did. Just people didn't care or it didn't make as many people mad in the same way.
Yeah. And it's like a few things. It's like, on the one hand, he brings in a lot of casuals, and there's nothing wrong with being a casual. I'm casual about a lot of things that I technically like. But like, he brings in a lot of people who don't know that long history and all that shit. And also, at the same time, he is good fodder for a lot of media outlets that don't dig into any of that stuff. Like, I don't know, we come from an internet world that's like, let's go into the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Ryan, you have a Substack about this sort of thing. But, like, that is not the usual incentive of, like, I need some SEO traffic. Right. I'm going to boast about the thing the guy said.
Right.
And say it's good or bad, or both.
I will remind everybody that not only did Spurrier do this, like, stood up from his table and was like, I'm not going to do anything as long as that guy's sitting right here. Ron Morris was forbidden about writing about the Gamecocks, and when Spurrier was asked about it, said, Ron just wrote stuff that wasn't true about me, and I reacted. I was fine with him the first 5 or 6 years. Then he'd write stuff that wasn't true. I complained to the world about him. How much do you fucking hate somebody that you're like, I address the universe.
I have invoked all of reality about your ass.
I like that there's like a God of War element to that where he's like, I traveled to Atlas, the man who holds up our very earth, and I talked shit about Ron.
I made my case before the living tribunal about your ass.
The world tree has to know about Ron's perfidious lies.
Me and Neo were down there in Machine City talking to the robot baby about how much you suck.
Great, now that I have your ear, please bend your lightning fingers upon the vision of Ron Morris, shit-ass columnist.
There I was at the end of time, just me and Thanos. And he agrees you suck.
It's turtles all the way down, and they all know about Ron, let me tell you what.
Turtles all the way down, but what should be is gators, and it would be if not for you.
Oh, Aegis-bound Apollo, please join me in hating Ron Morris.
All will be made new except fucking Ron.
Except Ron. We're leaving his ass in the old world.
He's exactly what we're leaving behind.
Yeah, he can go lie about some ashes. So that's Spurrier. But I'm not, by the way, not done. when he said, why did you get, somebody asked, why did you get Ron Morris, you know, fired from covering, or essentially like banned from covering the Gamecocks? He said, I complained to the Gamecock Nation on my radio show, but don't put that on me that Morris can no longer write about Gamecocks football. He is responsible for that. He did that. And in case you wonder how mad did Spurrier stay about that, in his last interview, he was talking to this guy, Rick Henry, who worked for a local TV station, and he said, well, you're one of the good guys, Rick. Most of the Columbia people tell him it's all fair. I really only had problems with one guy, but he's gone now, so at least I outlasted him. So this isn't new. Please stop telling me that Dion's innovative. He's not. He's not innovative. He's just doing stuff loud. That's all, and we're all paying attention to him, like, because
including if Colorado loses to North Dakota State. You telling me a Big 12 team bit off more than it can chew? Yeah. Shit.
You telling me you shouldn't have scheduled a Dakota State?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, granted, at this point, it's not the worst Dakota State, but you know what? That would make it even dumber of an idea to lose to them. Worst as in worst schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not even the first to do this particular bucket that everyone else has stepped in. Nope. Old bucket, new foot. Same trick.
So, yeah, that's the game everyone will be watching. It's the game all eyes will be on.
Yeah.
Because,
I think,
like,
by the way, but, like, my sneaking suspicion is we might be a bit late to this. Like, if this was North Dakota State 4 years ago, I'd be
Ooh. Yeah. If they were playing South Dakota State, oh, my God. That would be the schedule North Dakota State of the 2020s. It's still a bad idea. You still have nothing to gain here.
No. Nothing to gain. Everything to lose. We'll all laugh at you. And then you can ban some other reporter. Sure. Right?
Just shedding weight throughout the season.
Let's just offer up us. Be like, blame the full cast. I'm not going to do any for more interviews or take any more questions from the full cast.
USC did this just last year. I just remembered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Dion,
we don't believe in you.
Damn.
I have a Deion Sanders jersey down the hall, and I don't believe in you.
Damn. Mm-mm. Well, there it is. All right. Colorado 10-0. You heard it.
You did it. You did it. Thanks. <welcome.
laughs> Meanwhile, at the same time, we have the aforementioned North Carolina, Minnesota, which, I mean, my gosh, if that's the, like, normal game, good Lord. You know what I mean? Like, we have this wacky ball circus going on in Boulder, and meanwhile, the ACC's, I don't want to say most chaotic team, but right up there against the strong contender for Minnesota, or Big Ten's most chaotic team.
Mm-hmm.
Two enormous personalities at head coach. This
this could very well be the first installment of Mack Brown's Vampire Tour this year. Because imagine the energy you could siphon off of a vibrating, visibly vibrating PJ Fleck.
Or is PJ Fleck so powerful that this becomes like Pippen touching the crystal ball that he shouldn't have touched?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too much. You know what I mean?
It might be too much. And we'll find out. We'll find out if age has affected his vampirism. If it has affected his ability to
PJ Fleck's
leech.
Bald head, I think that's the orb you should not ponder.
Yeah. That's
there's too much going on in there.
That is interesting. Although I can hear all of you NFL fans who listen to Split Zone Duo yelling right now, and I can hear your voices. They're overwhelming. So I will recognize them and say, yes, you fucking nerds, come on over here. We're going to talk about Coastal Jacksonville State. That's what we're going to do. Yes. Is it going to be a good game? Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's probably the best game of the night in terms of
competition.
And yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be a dog. Like, this is going to be like one mean dog of a game. It's going to be tenacious. And you don't just step into the cockpit and walk out with an easy win, folks. No. Going to Jacksonville State. It's hard. This is a very, very, very good team. This may be, I don't know, is this Rich Rodriguez's like second most impressive coaching job thus far to date overall? Probably. A lot more impressive than Michigan. We can just go ahead and clock that one.
Yeah, I think you make a good case there.
Yeah. I make my favorite kind of case, a really easy one.
You know, there's also his OC stuff, but as a head coach, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. I mean, it's still West Virginia in terms of overall performance. You had the Mountaineers one game away from competing for a BCS title, and then nothing happened, and it was all fine. And we won't ever discuss that again. But this is, I don't know, this is definitely, like, to me, the best game of the night.
I think that's
for sheer entertainment.
Yeah, we have, here we have, you know, like, two teams that could be in the, like, 10-win zone. And these are two teams that, if we're being honest, you know, unless you're a fan of one of them, you're probably not going to see very many times otherwise.
Yes, also the first Coastal game where, remember, Grayson McCall no longer there. Currently with full cast darling and my playoff pick, NC State. So a brand new age for Coastal
Carolina. How confident are you that you picked them?
How confident am I in that, like, I'm
no,
here
no, no,
right
no.
now?
No, no, no. Are you sure that you picked NC State?
I'm pretty sure I picked NC State.
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember.
You know how I know?
You
people
just
reminded
just
me of it
out.
At the live show in Raleigh. Yeah, brother.
Okay.
So
that makes more sense.
So your plan to remember your playoff is to visit 12 cities and be reminded.
I will be reminded.
People will tell you whether you have their team or not.
I will walk around.
Like it's Carmen, San Diego? Nope.
Yes.
Not here, Chief.
That's
try another city, Gumshoe. That's
this is how I do picked. Most things, Ryan. So why would this surprise you on my playoff?
It's pick? Fine. It works. Yeah,
just wander from town to town, being yeah. like, "Do you have a grocery store?" Travel on, journeyman.
The fun thing about this, and like you know, this is a thing that'll it'll flavor every almost every you know weekend of this season is, hey man, Coastal versus Jack State, the winner is not out of the playoff. Like it's pretty far fetched, you know, to imagine the Conference USA champion in there, but really not that far fetched.
Yeah, like tired caring about the fourth seed in the 4-team playoff. Wired as fuck caring about the 12 seed. That's it. All I'm going to care about all year is who's getting that 12 spot, baby. That's it. That's the only really interesting one. You think anybody's going to care about 9? No. Nobody's going to care about the 9 spot. That 12 spot, that's where you can actually have some fun.
I'll probably care about 5 and 12.
Yeah, 5 and 12.
Five's got some peril to it.
Yeah, 5 has the most, like, God damn it, we shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
In which direction? Is it we're too good to be at 5, or it's like, right. Oh, no. Yes,
the snub,
yes.
but also you're hosting the playoff
yes,
game.
Yes, yeah. It's layer. It's got some weird layers to it.
So you're going to be all grumpy and mad while the other team is thrilled to be there. Mm-hmm. And you better not lose at home.
James Franklin's very excited about this opportunity.
Notre Dame. Yeah, no.
just Marcus Freeman sitting there like, God damn it. Why did I take the job where I would always end up being the least good team in the playoff, or I would be the best sort of okay team? We won't ever be great. I'm just going to max out at like, really good.
I don't know. Clemson's trying to be that these days, too. Sorry, server.
It's cool, man. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. We're going to lose Florida State in 5 weeks. It's going to suck so fucking bad.
But it felt
so cool. It felt so cool, man, for like 5 minutes before I realized that, like, ah, shit. He's going to beat us then.
Well, but fortunately, I'm sure Clemson has a very beatable, get things going on a light track week one opponent, right?
Yeah, yeah, no problem. Just Georgia. And then, hey, good news is after that, it's Appalachian State. Historically, not a rough, you know, Sun Belt team to schedule. Big deal. Whatever.
I feel like the way that you guys scheduled the first bit of your season was, I'm going to go in and I'm going to try to have an MMA fight after eating a really big meal, right? And I'm kind of sleepy and they just throw me in and I gotta get the shit beat out of me by some really mean guy from like Uzbekistan. And then then I walk out of the arena and week two is symbolized by I get attacked by a dog. I'm probably going to win that fight, but it's going to suck a lot.
This is on the way to the car after the fight.
Yeah, you got like a golf ball sized hematoma on your ankle, right? Everything hurts. You're probably concussed. You're bleeding. You can only see out of one eye, and all of a sudden you hear.
It's just some really obnoxious skinny guy from the mountains who's like, "Hey man, I just saw you get your ass whooped.
I'm up."
It just springs on you.
It's Randy's turn.
You're going to beat Randy, but it's going to be so annoying.
Yeah, it's going to suck, man. Yeah.
I did not mean to jump over Friday, where there's a few
games. One other
to
note on Thursday is the late game is solid. Sacramento State, San Jose State, Big Sky Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Best conference in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this, by the way, this is our Big Sky alert. Can we call it the Jason Kirk special, which is the Big Sky FCS upset special?
Let's put them on. FCS Northwest is already 1-0 on the season.
It's true.
Yeah, but that was as a favorite, so.
A huge favorite on the road. Favorite,
yeah. Let's everybody calm down. On Friday, Florida Atlantic goes to Michigan State. Have you seen what Tom Herman had to say heading into that game?
Oh, no.
No.
I'm just going to read.
Was it about Hitler?
It wasn't.
Okay, we're already improving.
This is I'm just going to read you the headline. FAU coach says Spartan Stadium is, quote, significantly louder than the Big House.
Wow.
Just Tom Herman. I think it's an interesting turn of misdirection to sort of be like, you know, I'm going to praise my opponent because he's doing that coach thing where you talk about like how tough it is to play against this team and they're so well prepared and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But to do it in a way that will rumble a hornet's nest over here. That, like, I don't think Michigan fans are going to turn around and be like, it's time to invade FAU message boards. It's time to let them know. I think it's just one more excuse for Michigan fans to go bother Michigan State fans. Really?
No, but you know who has a lot of money in South Florida?
Oh, that's true.
Jeff Ross.
That's true.
Jeffrey Ross.
Sure.
By FAU Stadium.
I guess this means Tom Herman won't be the Dolphins coach next year.
FAU. So we're going to have FIU Stadium's named after Pitbull. Mm-hmm. FAU is going to be named after George Patton.
I'm sorry. Stephen Ross, not Jeffrey Ross. They're not being roasted on Comedy Central. Stephen Ross. I don't know what Jeffrey Ross's real estate holdings are in South Florida. They might be substantial for
maybe
all I know.
Maybe they're even vaster. Who's to say?
That's true. But all I see is FAU's football stadium got foreclosed on. Who did that?
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got that on Friday. And then the other games of note that you would highlight are Western Michigan going to Wisconsin and TCU at Stanford. Real quick, Spencer, is TCU at Stanford a conference game?
No.
You sure?
Nailed it.
Sure.
Okay. Nailed it. Which conference? Which conferences are those?
A month ago, I would have been very confused about that.
But you've been playing CFB 25. So.
I have, and I actually managed to actually like look up teams like last week and be like, okay, let's get this totally right.
Sure.
That is a Big 12 ACC game now.
That's right. That's right.
Traditional. That has real fucking mess potential. Like I would never tell a normal person to stay up late for that if they're in one of the time zones other than the West. But like, this is going to be a disgusting game. So
it is a game that feels like, look, Stanford is in a power conference. We have seen Stanford not that long ago be an excellent college football team. There feels like not a lot of upside to TCU playing Stanford in terms of like trying to sort of say like, no, the one season wasn't a fluke and everything that happened last year is sort of behind us. Like if you lose, it just looks terrible. And immediately, like if we get to a place in the season where it's like Stanford's 1-0 and Florida State's 0-1 and they both played a power opponent, that's going to be delightful. But if you beat Stanford close, I don't know. Like I understand these games get scheduled way in advance and you just got to deal with whatever's on your schedule and winning's better than losing. But I think ugly game probably does not bode well for TCU fan psyche. Maybe. Does that make sense?
How's this? Stanford's been playing a lot more ugly games recently. And I think than TCU has. I know it hasn't been pretty at TCU, but Stanford is still firmly in that rebuild. So I think a slog in the mud favors them. Not because they are the old power blocking Stanford of yore, but because I think there's a cool thing that happens when you're rebuilding a team. And it's that you're much more accepting of things looking like shit, right? Like you don't get bothered by it. You're like, oh man, that first quarter. Whoo! No, yeah, that was awful. Three fumbles, everything bad. Okay, cool. Second quarter, now we're here. Like I think good coaches and good organizations can go through those and become much less flustered than something like, say, TCU, where you go, it still feels like they're trying to, you know, prove concept there instead of just, you know, okay, let's improve and learn how to do things. There's more tension and more to prove on their side, and I think that's not good in a game like this.
Well, and Stanford's decline was somewhat steady and somewhat consistent. Like, you didn't – TCU – played in the national championship game 2 years ago. It's a real thing that happened. You can look it up. And so whether or not your program is in a place to like still be at that level, it kind of lingers in your mind in a way that like Stanford doesn't have to worry about like, oh, recent success is being held against us. And yeah, that weirdly is maybe a little bit helpful.
There's a lot more what we would call blue water, right?
Sure. Like,
sail where you want to, guys. You want to be good? go right ahead. As opposed to TCU, where I feel like there's some different pressures at work there.
Yes. The good news is, like, maybe this game just won't matter even if you lose it, because it's just, like, here comes a very weird Big 12 season for you anyway. And that's, like, where you really, the meat of your focus needs to be in a variety of ways.
It's going to be a weird Big 12 season.
It's always a weird Big 12 season.
It's going to be a weird Big 12 season, even by the standard of Big 12 plus realignment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. Otherwise, on Thursday or Friday, I have nothing else spotlighted whatsoever.
Podcast business. What's a business? Podcast business. It's time for football. That means it's time for making money and selling stuff. And here we go with all the stuff we have to sell and that you need to buy.
Oh, you're really going long this time. Okay.
That was the full version.
We're going to sing the stuff that we have to sell?
We're going
to
sing one more verse.
You make it sound like we have wagon wheels.
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
We're like a tractor supply here.
We got inventory to unload.
Birdseed, horse mats. They're wondering how I'm selling these horse mats so cheap.
What's a horse mat? I can't.
Spencer, how are you selling that shit so cheap?
I can't.
Are you out of your damn mind?
I am. My boss is going to kill me. He's here with a gun. Come get these before they find my body.
You've heard of Mattress Mac. Here's Sleeper Sofa Spencer, ladies and gentlemen.
I swear to God, this job's going to kill me. Benefit from my demise.
I put $80,000 on the Knowles. Now I'm in trouble.
God's going to call me home if you don't buy this air mattress.
Now you're just stealing Jason's recruiting strategy.
No, it's Coach and I, we learn from each other.
All right.
Yeah, we do. That's right. That's right. There's no stealing in football. There's no stealing.
When I invited Coach out to observe the kids at fall camp, I picked up all sorts of motivational slogans that I could shout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to sell the people then, Coach?
Well, Coach, first of all, we should note we had a lovely time in Raleigh, North Carolina at Sports Pod Fest. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Dimitri and Company and Servers Podcast and the OGs and so forth. We have another show on the books upcoming. We've mentioned it for a while, but it's time to get pumped about it again, man. It's October 3rd in Birmingham, Alabama, associated with Furnace Fest. Not technically part of Furnace Fest, but yes, I'm telling everyone we're opening for Coheed and Cambria. Yes, that means we have all sorts of scientific sci-fi lore with guitar solos that you cannot do on Guitar Hero. Tickets are available there. We have posted them on all our socials. And I have decided we're going to have a circle pit at a podcast. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before, but we're going to do it. It might be walky. I don't know. It'll probably be very walky, but we will technically do what it takes to get a podcast circle pit going.
Y'all take care of each other out there.
Y'all take care of if you got health insurance, fucking prove it. I stole that line from the Callous Dow Boys, but it still counts.
Agreed. We hope to see you there, Furnace Fest. Is this the final Furnace Fest? Are we playing the final Furnace Fest?
It is the final one on the books that has been going since the early 2000s. And again, yes, we are opening for August Burns Red. Not really.
We're going to close out Furnace Fest. I'm very excited about this. Additionally, I would go ahead and remind you that there is no better time to subscribe to our newsletter, Channel 6. That is Holly and I's production, where we will be producing a couple openers this week, our usual opening essay, followed up by, yes, the top whatever returns Tuesday, because we got to wait till Monday. Because they got games on Monday, because it's Labor Day. But there is no better time for $10 a month. We give you two things a week that will include, by the way, our Saturday morning pregame chat exclusive to subscribers. So by all means, please, $10 a month, find the link in at ADSBS or go to Channel 6. You can find that on the internet. Ryan!
It's on the internet.
Let's see. I'll promote two things this week. We're Not All Like This is coming back shortly. Cerber and I will start cooking on that. I'll just go ahead and spoil it right now. Looks like the first episode is going to be about the Georgia Bulldogs. It's going to be very painful for me. And the people that I have reached out to are very aware that it's going to be painful for me to do, but we're gonna do that. And yes, as Jason alluded to, I'm still writing over at the Assigned Substack, assigned.substack.com, where we are still going through names of things and where they came from. But before too much longer, I think we're going to open it back up for subscriber vote to change the topic, and more on that as it develops. Cerber, the night before the Raleigh show, you had what I think was described by you and others as a kick-ass show with the Killer Ants. Yes?
Yep, yep. Not the first show at Hoots, but like one of the first shows that we've had at Hoots here in Winston-Salem, which is a really cool venue that Eric from Code 7 opened up. It's a really awesome space. It's going to kind of be the best place to see local music in Winston, like on the weekend for sure. So that was really awesome. Shout out to Backteeth and Die Cherie for playing with us. We've got music on Spotify and streaming and all that, like Amazon Music, wherever you want to get that stuff. I also haven't released the trailer yet, but I created a Twitter account for something that I'm kind of excited about. I've never done a show of my own before. So I'm actually starting a podcast called Podcasterino. It's going to be starting next month, and I'll have guests on to kind of talk about music, art, stuff that they like, stuff that I like, and just kind of talk about my life a little bit, just my background, the things I'm into, and kind of the stuff that I go through on a day-to-day basis.
Is it how soon until it becomes bigger than this podcast?
I don't think it will ever become bigger than this
one
podcast.
Year. 1 year.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's gonna have Oasis on to talk.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. I've got an in with Liam, so
yeah,
that's no, pretty
no
good.
Problem for me.
I will say, if you had Oasis on and they broke up again on your podcast,
Server killed Oasis,
that would do huge numbers for you. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, if I was able to get them on my podcast, 100%, it would just be to convince them to not try and make new music together. That would probably be the worst possible outcome for any fan of Oasis who's excited about this reunion, is if they also announce, and we're going back into the studio, because that's like a 48-hour notice to the this shit is off. It's not happening.
It's like, no, you two need to only interact on stage. That's it's not aim any higher than that.
I had a friend tell me, though, he's like, actually, I kind of hope it goes down exactly like that. Just give me one more great song and then explode.
I do like that we got to live in a time where you got like long-term band hatred, but also long-term brother hatred. Like, it's relatable to so many kinds of, like, you don't have to play music to understand. You just have to have a sibling to understand what's happened to you.
This asshole who stole my Pokemon cards. You get it.
I think he dresses stupid.
Yeah, I think Liam's official explanation was that, like, he took a piss on something that belonged to Noel when they were like when he was 15.
Pokemon
cards.
And
he's like, I don't think he ever got over it.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
He looks like he's Elizabeth Hurley's son.
So one other newsletter to subscribe to, folks. We just need you getting so much email. The
wave of the future.
It is a wonderful fucking technology, man. It's like everything else is bought by like Elon Musk and, you know, degraded by whatever. Email is just chugging. Email just works. It's great. So really, really smart by y'all to hitch various wagons to email. It's more solid than AM radio. The Watch Grid, the weekly college football schedule guide.
Oh, my God.
That's right. It's coming back. I'm looking at the ugly spreadsheet right now as we look at it. In fact, it is how I am looking at the schedule. It's coming back on my Substack, jasonkirk.fyi. This is the first time since 2019 that it'll be at the same place for consecutive years. So enjoy the stability.
Oh, boy.
And additionally, Cerber and I have just put out the audiobook version of my novel, Hell is a World Without You. Just go look at those ratings and reviews, folks. Just go bask in those. I'm not going to tell you to buy it. I'm just going to tell you to look at those numbers.
By God, they're all positive, Jason. That's incredible.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. That part is true.
No one's going to buy your book.
People have said that. People have said that.
Did they say it in that voice?
Yeah, that's how I read it. Yeah.
Okay.
I read, there are certain things I always read
that just didn't project to me as like, well, maybe that's on me. That didn't feel like head of a book company voice, but maybe I'm the one who's bringing preconceived notions of who does and doesn't run a book company.
I think if that guy is in the publishing industry, he's looking for like books about how your camo hat should say Jesus on it. When, you know, like,
I'm cover, pretty sure I saw Only Jesus like bump like windshield decal the other day.
Like OnlyFans, but
Jesus, yeah, like Only Faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was sort of thrown because I'm like, sure, I get like the message is clear, but also to some extent, this requires you to be aware of a like I don't know, largely non-religious part of the internet. So
it's,
like,
it's called marital aid. Right?
I guess
my question is like, if you get this reference, do you feel better or worse?
Worse. Worse. Okay. Yeah, this is designed. It's designed
it's
as
a trap.
It's designed. Yeah, so it's like grandma can see it's, oh, that's cute. Only faith is all you need. But it's also designed to convict that grandson who has been looking at things on his phone. So both grandma and grandchild are going to church. That's what.
Thank you, windshield decal. You brought our family back together.
Like, I'll tell you exactly. Like, if you're, you know, if you're this 15-year-old with a telephone and you see that,
yeah,
you have to think, oh, thank God, I went 5 minutes without feeling guilty. Mm. Oh, thank goodness, now I feel it again. This is so good.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's grandma's OnlyFans?
Well, that's even weirder for that kid. But
subscription. I mean, like, if she's just out there being like, I think he's a handsome young man. I subscribe to the Girth Master.
Oh, I thought of Jesus. I thought she was subscribing to Jesus' OnlyFans.
No,
folks,
no.
You know who has you in his top 0.01%?
Yeah. That's right, the Girth Master.
Okay, Spencer and Jason, we are going to play a little game called Less or More.
Woo! More!
Yeah, okay, less, okay, you're less. Already doing it wrong. Guys, I'm the enthusiasm is great. But I need it just to be a little bit more focused. Okay.
More. You said the word.
I need it to be a little
differently focused.
Differently focused. Thank you. Thank you for the edit.
Less rambunctious.
No. Nope. Mm-hmm. Differently rambunctious.
Not less.
I'm gonna get rowdy.
Okay. So, in this segment brought to you by Price Picks, I'm going to give you pairs. And I need you to decide, and you can decide now if you want to work together, if one of you wants to be team more, team
more
less.
Camaraderie.
It's up to you. And you have to tell me whether the answer is more or less to the following questions. All right?
Mm, we're going to work separately because
okay.
Less camaraderie.
Okay. That's fine. We're going to stay on theme with Georgia Tech's win. And over I need who? To over the Florida State Seminoles.
Oh, that's
and I need you that to happened. Tell me all time, what does Georgia Tech have more of? Wins against Miami or wins against Florida State?
I'm going to say that they have, I'm going to be grammatically incorrect for the theme. They have less wins against Florida State.
That's fine. Grammar doesn't exist here.
Against Miami, because I've seen a couple of those in person. They were hilarious.
Okay, so Spencer.
So you usually do tricky questions, but yeah. My brain is leaning toward more wins against Miami.
You're both correct. Georgia Tech has 14 wins against Miami.
Jesus.
12 wins against Florida State in roughly the equal number of matchups. This is not, you know, we played one team 15 more times than the other. Okay. Yeah,
okay. Got it.
Let's go with a question based on 2023 statistics because, you know, we've only just gotten started with this season.
Sure.
Who had more rushing touchdowns as a team last year? Tennessee or Rutgers?
I'm going to go
rushing
with
touchdowns less in Tennessee and more at Rutgers. Tennessee threw the ball a lot last year, and Rutgers is staffed by a caveman, so I got to go more Rutgers.
Okay. You are both correct. Rutgers had 24 rushing touchdowns. Tennessee only had 23. They each played 13 games, and Rutgers ran the ball slightly more. It's not, you know, it's maybe a difference of like a carry, two carries per game or so. Mm-hmm. But yes, Rutgers last year was, in this limited measure, because Tennessee ran for a yard and a half or so more per carry, the superior rushing team to the University of Tennessee. And my last question in this edition of Less or More. I have two football films for you, and I need you to tell me which one made more money compared to its budget. So not just gross box office, take the box office receipts, subtract the budget of the film, which made more profit? Any Given Sunday or Rudy?
Oh, gotta be Rudy. Rudy, yeah.
Talk it out.
Any given Sunday has a lot of, like, effects and shit.
Also,
the guy's eyeball gets clawed out.
It has Bill Bellamy. Rudy sure doesn't have Bill Bellamy, tell you what.
Yeah.
Rudy does not have music videos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rudy
Server,
did not.
Server, go ahead.
I'm just curious, is it a bigger box office haul or a bigger profit?
Bigger profit. Just profit. Because then I also don't want to do the, like, adjusting for inflation thing. Granted, these movies only came out like 6 years apart, so it's not that drastic.
They look like they came out decades
ago. Correct. I was going to say. Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, all right. So, Spencer is saying Rudy made more money?
Rudy was more profitable. Yes.
Okay.
It was more profitable. Rudy was profitable.
More profitable. Yes, to be precise. Jason.
So you're saying Any Given Sunday is less profitable?
Yes.
I feel like I'm just copying Spencer's homework each time, but I mean, like,
do you want to go different here?
I know which one looks more expensive.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Right now, you two are tied, and if you go with his answer, that will be the case no matter what. But if you pick a different answer, one of you will win.
I just don't know what Rudy would have spent a lot of money on, so.
Yeah, like Ned Beatty's not like, I need $40 million. Ned Beatty doesn't show.
Yeah, like.
But they had to shoot at Notre Dame, at the football stadium. They had to get, like, they had to set up a film crew on a game day to get all his crowd shots. This was pre-CGI. Like,
and the Pope needed recompense.
That's right.
That guy had a little gold throne to sit on, and it needs buffed.
All gold everything.
Yeah, my God, the Pope is so fucking rich. I'm going with Any Given Sunday.
Jason, you have won this round of Less or More.
How adjusting, much was Rudy?
Adjusting for... So this is box office only. I'm sure Rudy has done very well on VHS. Rudy made $10 million when you take away its budget. Any Given Sunday made $45 million. Wow. Any Given Sunday, much more expensive movie to produce, but
you gotta fight for that itch.
Yeah, way better speech, more inspirational.
Yeah.
Guy gets his eye clawed out, as Barry Switzer grumbles.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dennis Quaid is there for some reason.
Penis budget was much higher. On Any Given Sunday,
you get to see
a lot more penis.
You don't see Jon Favreau's dick once in all of Rudy.
Is it LT who you see take a circular saw to a car? Is he the one who does that?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, but that wasn't scripted.
Sure, but you leave. That's why you leave the cameras rolling. You know,
it costs money to leave the cameras rolling.
Yeah,
but not as much as it costs to set foot in Notre Dame Stadium.
And the best part is, given everything we've learned about Rudy since then, I would say they're roughly equally accurate in terms of football history.
Sure.
I'm gonna write a fake history for the production of Rudy, like a fake oral history where it's like Sean Astin pulled a knife on me.
The most galling thing about Rudy is, so, like, a lot of the people who appear in it sort of had to say, like, yes, it's fine if I'm depicted in this movie, including Dan Devine, the coach who's at the latter half of the movie.
Right.
And Dan Devine knew that they were going to sort of portray him in a negative light, and he was still fine with that. But apparently the whole Jersey scene where all the players come in,
yeah,
entirely made up, like, just to make Dan Devine look like a huge asshole.
Like Joe Montana has said that was made up.
Yes.
Yes.
What a fucking move. Like, this, I understand maybe you didn't like him, but I understand it. Like, you're doing something for drama, but you made this guy look like such a dick for no reason.
Also, you don't have to say Rudy was offside in order to say this movie was bad. Rudy was not offside. The movie's bad regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been less and more. Brought to you by Prize Picks.
Thank you, Prize Picks. It was a delightful time. We all learned a lot. Prize Picks is, of course, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play for daily fantasy sports. Unlike on other apps, it's just you against the numbers.
Spencer hates those numbers.
Versus less.
That's right. That's why I just go more or less. That's right.
Sleeper hold those numbers.
That's right. And by the way, and talking about putting the haters in a sleeper hold, you could now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks. As little as 4 correct picks.
They'll
you
be can inconsolable.
Turn $10 into $1,000.
That's more.
Indeed.
$1,000 is more than 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll be weeping into their little sad salads.
That's right. You sign up today, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And then you get to, like we just did, you get to play more or less, except about things that are actually happening in sports and not Rudy's relative box office success, because I suppose it would be hard to run Prize Picks if that's what the stakes were.
But it's all honor code. Like, yeah. Did this old movie make more money? And you can't look it up.
we've locked your phone. You can't do anything else.
The things that you can less versus more include mm-hmm. things like, will Patrick Mahomes have more than 4,300 passing yards or mm-hmm. less? Mm-hmm. I mean, he won't have Kadarius Toney. Which is
more go Gators four,
which is just heartbreaking for all of us in Kadarius Toney Nation.
Yeah.
My real Tony heads keep faith.
The Tony yard is desolate right now. Folks, all you do is you download the Prize Picks app today, not tomorrow, today, and use mm-hmm. code FULLCAST for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code FULLCAST on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, run your game.
And also, like, we don't want you to think it's all more. You can also decide if Aaron Rodgers is going to have more than 3,750 passing yards.
Yeah, you could be a hater.
Let's address the haters out there, because as one, I would go ahead and say, hit less all you want, brother.
That's code FULLCAST on Prize Picks.
Saturday, August 31st, at noon, as Serber mentioned, everyone is going to be watching Georgia-Clemson, which feels like to me, and I realize this is a little bit proclamatory, and like, you know, it'll look silly if Clemson plays really well, but this feels to me like one of those, sure, that's the big game type things, where like, if you don't tell everyone to watch it, they're like, what are you doing? Those teams have rankings. That game's going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, yeah, but
Penn State at West Virginia is sitting right there.
It's sitting right there, man.
It's sitting right there.
You got other options. Not a lot, let's be honest. But
I think there is something to be said for, in this slot, UConn at Maryland and Virginia Tech at Vanderbilt. Not necessarily because those are going to be highly competitive games, but the Maryland and Virginia Tech, I think, are teams that if they're going to like make a competitive leap, these are games where they should like get to stomping. And there is something valuable to seeing if somebody can come out in week one and just like murder an opponent.
This is also, you're both betting on the boomerang here, right? You're mm-hmm. both bet. You're going, okay, well, I saw a curve in this way at the end of last mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. I saw Maryland playing some pretty consistent, interesting football, mm-hmm. which after the month of September has not been a thing for them.
Not their thing, yeah.
Right? But they just continue to do like, one good thing a day in the program, which, coach, you'll understand. If you just get a little bit better every day, like we, you know, you're going to end up being pretty good. Mm-hmm. And cliches being true, that's what's happened to both of these teams. That's really interesting with Virginia Tech, too, because I feel like Virginia Tech has just developed this, like, really, they've kind of returned to a very core, strong, defense-first identity, right? With kind of a wild card at quarterback. That, to me, is always interesting because that can flip to turtle on its back real quick. Not to take the Maryland metaphor and extend it to Virginia Tech, but here we are. That's really interesting to me because everybody's like, oh, man, Virginia Tech's going to be better. And I'm like, they play a brand of football where they're like one cornerback injury away from, drats, all 24-10, you know, like losing by that score every game.
You know, in August, every team is September Maryland.
Damn.
Except Florida State, because they've already lost.
Florida State, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Miami at Florida. All I have to say about this is, yes, what Splitzone Deal would call an anxiety bowl. But the real son of a bitch of this game is the winner is not going to necessarily feel that great because they're so convinced the other team sucks. Like, it's just going to be, you're going to be sort of drowning in your own shit talk in this one. It is I understand Miami fans are like, Florida ducks us and blah, blah, blah. Every Florida-Miami game in recent memory is unwatchable trash. This game shouldn't happen anymore. It's not necessary. It doesn't make anybody's life better on either side. Miami's probably going to win. And if they don't, that wouldn't surprise me either. I just want to move on. I don't want to dwell on this one that much.
Frankly. No one likes this game. Bad rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, let me know that, to be clear, Clemson could look really good. I don't mean to overly discount Clemson. I just mean there is a certain archetype of game that's like, they're both ranked. It's going to be great.
We'll see. If you want to just sort of, this is a good sort of like jump around the schedule, the afternoon, the like 3:30 window. You can go see what Indiana looks like under Kurt Cignetti when they play, when they host FIU. You can see what Syracuse looks like under new leadership. You can watch Nebraska start the season, host
the comeback.
Like, this is another one. This is another one in that sort of like, Virginia Tech, Maryland of like, if you want this to be the season that you hope it is, I should not look up at halftime and be like, oh, UTEP's tied with Nebraska. Whoops.
Nope.
That's probably not good.
Pick a different game to motivate. Mm-hmm. This should be dominate. Mm-hmm. If you've improved at all, this should be a rollover for you.
So one other game to back up to real quick. At 2:00 Eastern. You know who did play the good Dakota State? Oklahoma State. You're playing the good Dakota State.
Ooh.
So all throughout the 2010s, don't schedule North Dakota State stuff.
Yeah,
Oklahoma State has done that.
It's flipped now.
Yeah, so we've seen Oklahoma State in the past has come out in game one and been like, bah, that's what football is. Shit. Okay.
Jumping to the early evening, Notre Dame, Texas A&M is where all eyes will be. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's really not a lot that like just leaps out as obviously better.
And I think we are mature enough as college football fans, not just those of us here, but those of you listening, to know to not unduly take too much away from this, no matter the result.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I hope. I don't know. That said, if Texas A&M wins, they're going to like it's going to be fucking bananas pandemonium. Notre Dame winning, I don't think will have quite the same effect. It'll be good for them, et cetera, et cetera.
Depends on how they win. If Notre Dame runs away with this, like if
Texas A&M, that's true, yeah.
If Texas A&M just comes out and they're like, ah, I poop my pants, like, it's, Jesus, then I have no confidence in the ability of anyone watching that to not be like, ah, the echoes, as opposed to like what this Notre Dame team is kind of built to do, and what I think this A&M team is kind of built to do, which is to come out and play a perfectly respectable American football contest that ends 27-24. Sure. That's right. Sure. Like hard fought, couple turnovers, offenses designed to completely waste time. Like that feels like what we're headed for. And I think we can handle that. We could not handle a 9 turnover Texas A&M performance that makes Notre Dame look way better than they actually are.
Two real quick undercard games in the middle ish slot. Boise State at Georgia Southern.
Okay,
this is a good Boise State is likely back. And UNLV Houston. Let's keep an eye on
that. That's a great yes. I think that's an excellent game to keep an eye on.
Ooh, that's an entertaining game. Yeah. That's just interesting.
I think it's a good like two teams that are coming at it from different directions and not necessarily the way like it's weird that we're like, can UNLV keep up the momentum of last season and can Houston like start a turnaround? Like that's not necessarily where we're used to seeing these teams, which is fun, which is good.
I would put the 100-point watch on one game here.
Okay.
And I mean the combined teams will score 100 points.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going with this.
And I think one of those teams will score the 100, and the other will score the 0. That would be last week's strugglers, ACC stalwarts, longtime members, SMU. They will be hosting Houston Christian. Houston Christian.
Formerly Baptist, means Houston non-denominational.
Yes. Houston non-denominational. That is a team that, in a perfect world, would not be playing an FBS team.
Mm-hmm. At all?
Mm-hmm. At all? No, they wouldn't be allowed. This wouldn't be allowed, right? But if you want to show up and watch the man versus chicken fight, okay? If you're like, what I'd really like to see.
And who wouldn't?
Yeah, atomic bomb versus baby.
Yeah.
non-denominational baby.
There we go. There's the runner for this year. The Atomic Bomb Baby matchup is this one.
I will also maybe put the two Arizona games, New Mexico at Arizona, mm-hmm. a little less mm-hmm. so. Wyoming at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably a good stay up late for.
Yeah.
That's probably a good stay up late game. Arizona State is a fascinating team right now. Like, and Wyoming is a really fun watch as well. Jumping to Sunday, the only FBS game available to you is LSU versus USC in Las Vegas.
Good God, put down a tarp.
Speaking of Las Vegas, the total for this is only 64.5.
Okay.
Tempting.
Okay.
Slim.
Okay. Slim. Who would feel worse losing this game?
LSU.
Okay.
LSU, because it continues a pattern of them being absolute ass in openers.
To start the year. Yeah.
They haven't won an opener since, what, 2019?
Is that true?
Look it up.
Okay. Give,
yeah.
Please hold.
Please hold. I think it's if it ain't 2019, it's 2020. It's been a minute since they won their opener.
I know, obviously, they lost last year to Florida State in a game that ended up not being that particularly close. Then they lost to Florida State in 2022 in a game that was basically decided at the buzzer. 2021 lost on the road to UCLA by 11 points. Gosh, mm-hmm. that feels forever ago. Lost to Mississippi State. Yes. That was Mike Leach's first game at Mississippi State, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, 2019, the year they won the national championship, took it to Georgia Southern 55-3.
Yeah. In Tiger and this Stadium. Is just kind of a thing with Brian Kelly teams. There are coaches who just kind of roll it out there and then go, that wasn't right. And Brian Kelly and Mike Gundy, they're two guys who they'll get it right on the practice field. But sometimes that debut, when they roll out something, it can look kind of ramshackle. Do you know what can fix that, though? Facing a Lincoln Riley football team.
That's right.
Somebody who's equally ramshackle in how they roll out a team. Oh, but
no, Spencer, they have a new coaching staff. That means all their problems are fixed. That means Lincoln Riley's past decade didn't ever happen.
This is a good setup for all the anxieties, because both of these teams have a very similar anxiety, which is basically like, why the fuck can't our defense get it together? This is a game that, for both sides, is really going to keep preying on that. I know they're both, like, they both have new quarterbacks, thank God, because if you did this game with last year's quarterbacks, Jesus Christ.
That would be a show.
That would be defensive.
Man, we were
1:35 a.m. Yes. Eastern. Welcome back to the fourth quarter of LSU-USC, 95-92.
Look, college football has changed a lot here. Eligibility, like, I'm pretty sure Bud Elliott's about to sue the NCAA and get eligibility wiped away as a concept anyway. Like, why can't we just get the last year's quarterbacks for this game? Just for this one? Like, just let them go out there and have fun. It's in an NFL stadium anyway. It's fine. Like, who cares?
What, like, Washington's NFL franchise really needs a quarterback? It doesn't
right,
matter.
Right, right. Like, oh, no.
That's the correct answer. It doesn't matter. Is like, that important? It'll no never be important.
Wouldn't you love to see a Chicago Bears quarterback that people want to see on television? I mean, come on.
Unthinkable.
Make this happen.
It's even a Sunday game.
You're right. This, you know what? This is an NFL game, and therefore the NFL quarterback should be playing in it. No disrespect to the people who have taken the mantle after them. And plus, that means Brian Kelly finally gets the NFL job in his own spot.
Brian Kelly, you're on Sunday Night Football.
And then on Monday, ashes to ashes, Knowles to Knowles, Boston College goes to Florida State.
The openers, the closers.
I don't know why
Castellano can scoot, dude.
I don't know why Florida State decided, you know what would be good? A lot of attention early on, only on us and nobody else. How can this possibly go poorly?
Florida State's like, let's share my fitness journey. And we're like, I didn't need to see that on Instagram, Florida State. I did not.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
0-1 Florida State will be.
So I skipped the gym again today. I just thought I'd eat some Cheetos.
Well, diarrhea again, folks. I don't know what to tell you.
So Zempic is beating my ass.